What do you want from me, God? What do you want from me? Where are we going with this? And after some prayer, after some wise counsel, it basically came down to, what are you doing right now?
Welcome to a very special episode of Taco Talks. Today, because the Taco Network has recently announced that their content creator training class is starting up again on April 6th, we are sharing a recording of the entire first session. Christian Ninja has taught this class a bunch of times now, and it always receives rave reviews. Today's session, titled Created to Create, challenges the notion that only a select few are meant to take on the role of Christian content creators. Because the human ability to influence through creativity is an intrinsically biblical concept available to everyone. We are designed to reflect God's image and have been gifted the autonomy, authority, and ability to express ourselves in ways that no other creature can. This episode is more than a guide or a lecture. It's a narrative woven from our host's personal experiences, reflections, and a resolute commitment to helping you navigate the distinctive challenges Christian content creators face. So, whether you're a seasoned creator seeking deeper purpose or someone at the threshold of embracing your creative calling, Taco Training is a way to unleash the creative potential within you to impact the digital mission field in ways you never thought possible. If you want to learn more about the course, visit taconetwork.org and click on I'm a Creator. Let's listen in now.
Okay, who me a creator? God's call for us to create. Why and how God calls us to create. Is it biblical to be a creator? The question is, when we start, and I understand that everybody here is already a creator, right? Like, yes, obviously, if I didn't think God let me do that, I wouldn't be doing that. But I think it's really important for us to understand the foundational principle of how important content creation, how important artistry, and how important doing things that aren't quote unquote practical is to God's priorities. I believe that everybody in this world has the capacity for creation, right? Everybody from, you know, grandma makes scarves, and we got people out there doing carpentry. We got people who just really like painting stuff. Like even a fence, and they're choosing the color for their walls, whatever it is. They have the capacity for creation. I believe that God especially gifts some people to be better at it, or rather to be able to utilize whatever the creation is in order to communicate a special message to a certain group of people, right? Not everybody's going to be touched by it. But there are some people that when they put out their content, when they put out that picture, when they put out that song, it just grabs some people and changes their life. I'm sure you've had that experience of you hear something and it just, it's in you forever. You hear your poem, you read a book, you see that painting on the wall. There's a movie that you know, that hits you. And you watch it over and over and over, or it's the illustration you go to when you want to talk about how you feel. That's the power of creativity. One of the criticisms that we sometimes hear, and perhaps you've heard it as well, is that content creation is a waste of time. That you should get out there, get a real job. You should get out there, do a real ministry. I know plenty of content creators. Like, I mean, that have been in my chat that have come to the class and they've said, I wanted to stream, or I wanted to game, or I wanted to wait content or whatever. I went to my church and I said, this is what I believe God is calling me to do. And he and the pastor said, no, that's not real. You shouldn't do that. We have this ministry or this ministry or this ministry. And the pastor, it wasn't that the pastor necessarily was like, no, we can better utilize your talents here. Let me disciple you and we can help you grow here. It was just a shutdown completely of the idea of content creation as ministry. I don't know. Has anybody here experienced anything like that where they've actually told their mom, dad, husband, small group, pastor, like that this is what they were doing and was told, you know what, why would you do that? Yes. Yeah. Thumbs up. Yeah. A few people have. I have the distinct advantage that when I started my stream, nobody was around to stop me or ask any questions. Part of my story is I was a pastor for 16 plus years. I took my MDiv and then got into solo small church pastoring. Did that for over a decade and a half until COVID hit. And then because of various reasons, church couldn't afford me anymore. That it just happens. And so when I came in here and I sat down in my office and I'm like, okay, Lord, now what? Right? Do you want me to go to another church? You want me to go secular? You know, I was still pretty burnt out on church. I had pastored two abusive churches and had hit burnout twice. And there's a lot going on in here. And I was like, what do you want from me, God? What do you want from me? Where are we going with this? And after some prayer, after some wise counsel, it basically came down to, what are you doing right now? And I'm like, well, the one thing I'm loving is the podcast that I'm putting together. It's just, it just fuels me. I love doing it, but I can't get anything back, right? I can't get anything back with the podcast. And so how can I get, you know, hear back from people, which got me looking into live streaming, which had me look into YouTube live streaming, which had me look into Twitch live streaming. And the moment I started looking into Twitch, my heart was gripped. When I discovered the demographics of who is on Twitch, the demographics of why someone would be sitting at home watching the same person for four straight hours. What's that person like, right? The people that aren't on YouTube, they're not there reading books. They're not sitting around, they're not playing the game with them. What kind of people are they? And they're lost, they're lonely, they're disenfranchised. They have social anxiety. They have mental health issues. They've been victims of abuse. They're rough. They're in a rough place. And they have been very wildly underserved by the church, right? I don't know any churches out there that have a dedicated ministry through live streaming during the week for people. I don't know of a single one. And so when God called me into this, I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I literally thought that when I got in here, it was going to be me talking to people just like you guys do, right? Just like talking to folks online and being friendly and doing game stuff or doing entertaining stuff and then leading into conversations about God and real life. It was about 6-8 months in when I'd finally built, you know, my stream dream team, and I had started to meet more people that God went, no, I want you to do what you've always been doing, but I want you to do it with streamers. Right, you're a leadership developer. You are someone who's a pastor. You're a biblical leader. I want that. You're an elder. There are a lot of people out there that are doing content creation that don't have a pastor. They don't have an elder. They don't have anybody that's discipling them. Go do that. Which is where Taco came from, and which is how you ended up here. I didn't have anybody who came and said, "Don't do that." What I ended up doing was I would bump into denominations and large churches and whatnot. Remember, I've been doing this for a long time. Everybody knows who I am in this area. And so therefore, when I went to them, they all said the same thing, which was, yes, I affirm what you're doing. That is definitely something that God has called you to do. I believe that. However, we don't know what to do with you. The denomination's like, we don't know where to plug you in. You're not a church plant, and you're not a drop-in center, and you're not a missionary. We don't know what to do with you. So be warm and well-fed. Have a nice life. Then go to the next place, and same thing. Big church, same thing. Talk to my friends. I've had pastors that I've said, well, my new ministry's on the internet, and they went, don't continue that. I will never understand what you're saying. Don't even try, right? And so I didn't hit the wall of don't do that. I hit the wall of I don't know what you're doing, so therefore I don't know how to help. Recently, it's only been up till literally next month is when I'm hoping that I'll be able to. No, actually, it's not October yet. So the month after next, in November, is the hope where I'll actually be able to be a legit missionary pastor for a denomination that will support and give me like healthcare and money and a number that you guys, people can send and get receipts, like the whole nine yards. And that took almost three years to find one group that would do that. So I kind of get what it's like to get that frustration of you have this passion in your heart, you have this desire to create, you feel like this is really important, but you're constantly hitting walls of people who either don't get it, don't want it, don't believe in it. Right? Taco training is designed to give you that foundational help for when you are looking into your content creation. What did God call you to do? What voice did he give you to say? What is your message? Who are you supposed to give it to? Let's get real specific. I'm a big fan of specificity, as in it's not just God's calling you to help the internet. That's too many. That's too big. God's not calling you to Twitch. That's too many. That's too big. God's not calling you to anybody who's in just chatting. That's too many. That's too big. Who are you? Who's your audience? What is your message? And why do you have the qualifications to be able to give it? What makes you special? Right? Let's discover that so we can open up the audience. So here's a question just kind of start off. What work for you, what creative work has deeply affected you? When you think of the, like, whether it be, for me, it's, I've got two. I've got Lord of the Rings and I've got the movie Thor, the character Thor. In fact, I've got this. I specifically asked for this for Christmas, which is the Thor pop figure, right? And this thing was already gone. And my son got it for me and it cost entirely too much. And I'm glad I got it for Christmas, but that was it. It was crazy. It was like $80 for that pop figure. But the reason it was important to me is because the story of Thor mimics my story. His arrogance at first, him having to get smacked down and not realize, you know, that his gifting wasn't nearly enough, him hurting the people he cares about, and then being humbled, and then coming back and becoming useful and joining a team, all that stuff, it just mimics me. And I love that story. It speaks to me. What is yours? What speaks to you? Let's do a little bit of foundational, fundamental talk about your ability and your right, your autonomy, your authority to create. Being made in God's image means we were created to create. It's one of the fundamental natures of God is his ability to create, right? From nothing to something. He can speak it into existence. We sadly do not have that power, but we can rearrange what he's given us in creative ways. God gave us the capacity to create. As his image-bearing people, we are designed to be like him, to think his thoughts after him, to show his beauty to the world. In other words, to create is godly, right? When we do something using our gifts and talents that is unique to us, whether it be a video or whether it be a picture or whether it be a painting or it be a poem or it doesn't really matter. When we create from our brain, from our heart, and we put it out into the world, we are introducing people to a perspective of God, our perspective of God, our perspective of the world, our perspective of truth, our perspective of pain, whatever it's coming from, we are using that gift to change perspectives. That is a godly thing. Genesis 1:27, you know, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God's a creator. Yes, we can totally get, yes, thumbs up for sure. We get that. However, let's keep going. Romans 1:20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. In other words, if there was no Bible, if Jesus had never come, if there was absolutely no prophets, people would still know that God exists, that God is powerful, that God is beautiful, simply by looking at what he created. Just the world, the universe that he created. With no voice, the creation has value, right? It's one of the ways that we can see God. How much more for us, where when we create, we're showing a picture of God. We're showing a picture of ourselves. We're giving a piece of ourselves to others in that video, in that stream, in that gameplay, in that short. It's a piece of ourselves. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I believe strongly that God has predestined people to be creators, to change lives in a creative way, to be streamers, to be content creators, to be YouTubers, to be people who are amazing at shorts or music, and that it was his perfect will that he would prepare in advance, that there would be people out there that are only going to be able to be touched or touched in a better way because of content creators. This is God's idea, not ours. And finally, one of my favorite is Exodus 35, which says, "Then Moses said to the people of Israel, 'See, the Lord has called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work with gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and carving wood, for work in every skilled craft.'" How'd you like to have that guy on your stream team? Wouldn't that be nice? All knowledge in all crafts everywhere. Yes, you can. Okay, what are we going to call Bezalel? Because he literally knows how to do everything. The reason that this is amazing, because when he called and he equipped Bezalel, it was to be an artist. He wasn't the one who was making sure the tabernacle didn't fall down. He wasn't the one that was you know, like making sure it was pure. He wasn't the one that was crafting the boxes. What he was doing, he was making sure everything was beautiful, making sure everything was intricate. He was making sure everything was that reflected God's beauty through art. That was his job. And in the same way, God calls people to be artists. That's their whole thing. It is not a side job. It is not a side gig. It's not a thing they can also do when they do things that, you know, help society. The way they help society is by creating. That's what they're for. Some people, that's their job. Being made in God's image means that we have the authority to create. What gives you the right to say that you can create? What gives you the right to say that when you have an idea and you burp it out into the world, that that's okay? God gave you the ability, the authority, and the autonomy to create. You as an individual have permission to say things in a way nobody else can. That is a gift you have been given. The ability, the authority, and the autonomy. Which means that you, without anybody else's permission, because you are a Christian, because you are one of the priesthood of believers, because you have been created in God's image, because God has specially gifted you, you have the right, the autonomy, the authority to take this thing, create it, and put it out into the world. You don't need someone else's permission in order to do it. God has given you and said, yep, go ahead. When different Christians share their creations, they share a unique facet of their relationship with God with them. We understand God better when we share our creativity. We get to teach people about God through what we do in a way they would never understand. Also, the opposite of that is if we stop someone from creating, if we tell someone to stop creating, we're actually denying ourselves a picture of God. We're saying that whatever that person was going to show us, that facet of the diamond or that part of the mosaic, we're leaving out. We need that person to do that. Otherwise, we're going to miss out on a picture of God. That's you guys. You get to show God in a way that nobody else can. You're part of the mosaic. 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For just as the body is many and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." We're all in this together, but each of us are different members of the same body, unique. Right? Some of us are eyes, some of us are elbows, but we're all important. Yeah, God has given you the ability to create. God never calls anybody to do something without enabling them to do it. If you feel a sense of calling towards content creation, you know, like maybe it's even nebulous, you're not sure where you're supposed to be, you're not sure how to do it. You just kind of know that this is kind of where I'm supposed to be and I'm still trying to figure this all out. Then if that call is real, God will not only enable you to do it, but he'll equip you to do it, and he'll resource you to do it because you have value. He has value he sees value in you, right? He sees value in you. Based on your gifts and your personality, you have the ability to be creative in some area. We talked about that earlier. Everybody can create. But some people wonder, you know, like me personally, why would, you know, why do I have to, you know, what's my section of the internet? What's my section of Twitch? What's my section of TikTok? What's my offering to the world, right? Well, you have a specific gift and you have a personality, you have a perspective, and God gives you the ability to be creative in some area. You don't have to mimic someone else. You don't have to try to be someone else. You don't have to copy someone else's content. What you offer, as unique and special as that is, has value, is valuable. When you try to be someone else, you're trying to do someone else's job. You're trying to give their perspective. You're trying to fit your little piece of the mosaic over top of theirs. Well, we don't need that. We need your piece, right? 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. God enables this to happen. Being salt and light, God has called you to be an influencer. I love that phrase, influencer, because it is exactly salt and light. When salt is introduced into whatever, be it food or be it the well, let's just go with food. Salt is used for a lot of stuff. You know, salt is an amazing illustration because it does so many things. It's a preservative and it helps with, you know, the fertilizer. You could use it to set cement. Like it's all kind of useful. Let's talk about it from a food perspective. You as an influencer, you're changing your environment. And I promise you that there are people here right now that are like, I went to Twitch. I saw how like awful it was. And I was like, I want to not be that. I need to create an environment where people aren't being treated toxically and people aren't being hurt and people aren't, you know, pulled into the darkness. I want to be different. In other words, I want to flavor it different. I want to influence Twitch in a different way. You guys know the passage about salt and light. You have been given salt. You're a flavor. You're a certain flavor. You're different. You make it different. And you are light. Twitch is a dark place, man. It's a dark place, which means that the way that we are going to influence best is by shining light. We're not the source of light. God is the source of light. We are merely the reflectors. Does that mean everybody has to be a gospel-oriented Bible stream? No, because the way that we create, the message that God has given us, the way that we bring it into the world is going to be unique. However, it's going to shine light. It's a unique ability. Just as salt influences the food we eat and light influences the homes in which we live, Jesus is calling us to embrace our calling to influence and shine wherever we go. And that includes online. That's not just in church. And that's not just, you know, in our neighborhood. It's not just holding placards on the side of the road or whatever. The online digital environment needs salt and light too. So, any comments or questions or anything anybody want to say about that before I launch into the last part of the class here? Scared to share your content? You're not the only one. There are a million ways that content is made, but I believe universally, every content creator struggles with self-doubt. Every content creator, no matter who, like, I mean, top of the lot, you know, like Chris Tomlin level, you know, or, you know, whether it be PewDiePie or you want to go with, you know, whoever, that they all struggle with self-doubt at some point. The imposter syndrome or what am I doing here? Why me? Us at the beginning, especially as Christians, one of the things that we struggle with is like, well, I'm putting my face out there. I mean, I've read Matthew chapter 5 or 6. I know what God says about how you're supposed to be doing a lot of stuff secretly, right? Pray in secret and serve in secret and give in secret. And so who am I to turn on a camera and sit out there and be like, follow me, everyone? Like that, it seems so backwards when it comes to the Christian mindset. And so I think we doubly struggle with self-doubt and with why me and all this issue. And so if you've ever struggled with sending out that video or putting out that TikTok or starting up your stream or releasing that picture or releasing that poem or sending that tweet, I will never call it whatever Elon wants me to call it. It's a tweet. If you've ever struggled with that, it's universal. So you're not alone. Moses also did this. If you want, open up to Exodus chapter 3 in your favorite Bible translation. I'll be using the ESV. This is the call of Moses, right? And if you know the story, then we don't need to cover too much, but it's pretty cool. There's Moses. He was in Egypt. He was a treasured son of the Pharaoh. He had influence and all kinds of wonderful things. And he's like, man, I want to go help my people. I'm going to use murder. And it didn't work out. His plan was not good. So he ran away and was living in obscurity for 4 straight decades. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, as he's wandering oot and a boot, he sees a glowing tree that is kind of interesting, and he wanders over there, and the voice of God comes out of it, right? It says, he was looked and behold, the burning bush was not consumed. And yet, and Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned? When the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near, take off the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I'm calling you to go and change Israel. You're my vessel. We're going to take these enslaved people, your people. We're going to take them to the land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to change their lives forever. It's going to be incredible. And I'm using you to do it. You're my vessel. I want you to be the one to go and talk to them, okay? His response was not what we think his response should have been, right? His response, but Moses said to God, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Right? Imagine that God came to you and was like, okay, I'm using you for big things. You're going to go save an entire country. And perhaps you would have a similar response, right? Why me? Why me? Right? Immediately, Moses has this identity crisis. He doesn't feel qualified to be doing what he's doing. But what he's being asked to do, he's like, I'm a mess, and I've been living in a pagan land, and I screwed up in the past, and I don't know you that well, and like, boy, did you pick the wrong guy? Why would you pick me? I don't know if anybody else here struggled with that. I certainly have. I know when I first was called into the ministry, I took no preaching classes because there was one thing I knew I was not going to be as a pastor, and that was a preacher, because there was 0% chance I would ever get on stage. I am a back seat guy. I will help with sound. I will write you some stuff. I will play the bass. I will teach the small group, but I will not go on stage. And God's like, perfect. I know exactly where to put you. And so he gave me a microphone and he put me on stage, and it freaked me out, right? I'm like, why me? That doesn't make sense. I am not good at talking. And yet the more dependent I was on God, the more he used, and the more people wanted to hear sermons. Then that was God's response to him, right? He said, but I'll be with you. That was God's response, was, but I'll be with you. It doesn't matter who you are, right? In fact, I can call anybody I want, because I'm going to be the one who is going to be equipping them. I'll be the one who gives them the message. I'll be the one who makes it happen, right? I could use a rock. That, you know, that's what Jesus says, right? Like, listen, if they weren't worshiping, the rocks would cry out. We can make that happen if you want. But I could use whoever I want. I could use a donkey. I've done it, you know? Like, it's not important who's called, but I called you. Because I'm going with you, it'll work, right? Stick with me. I think for us, if you are a Christian, you can grasp the concept of the more out of the way you feel, the more outside of your comfort zone you feel, the more you want to press into God, right? However, when things are going well, and when you feel like you're super confident, and you know what you're doing, and you've hit your zone, the prayer life trails off, and the Bible reading trails off a little bit, and because you know what you're doing, why do I need to pray about this as much, right? But it's when you are completely out there on a limb, suddenly you're on your knees a lot more, and suddenly there's a lot more prayer. That's where God wants us, right? He wants us out there on the limb. The next thing, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, who is his name? What will I say to them? He says, who are you? Like, I don't know you that well, right? And a lot of Christian content creators that I know, especially streamers, this is a big struggle for them. What if somebody asks me a question I don't know? I'm still sinning. Like, when I'm offline, I'm not perfect. I got, you know, so therefore, I don't know. I don't know if I should be talking about God at all on stream. It feels like I'm misrepresenting him when I'm out there, because I'm not perfect. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an elder. I'm not perfect. I'm just a person, right? And God's answer is fantastic, as always. And his answer is, I am who I am. He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. His response was, humility is good. You know, that's a good thing that you know that you are, you don't know me well enough and you don't feel qualified, but I am everything you need. Being in God's presence is enough. Walking in God's will is enough. Being willing to step out there and say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know this is where God wants me, is enough. It'll work. We're going to keep going. I'm going to skip a few verses here. We're going to go down to I think number four. Yeah. Chapter four. God gives him a whole big spiel about how it's going to work out and it'll be fine. And Moses' response is, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. What if they don't listen? Like, what if it doesn't work out? Right? Okay, fine, God, it's me. I get it. I'll go and I'll start stream. Fine. I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know who you are. Don't exactly know what I'm supposed to say. I don't feel qualified, but all right, I'll go on there. What if nobody listens? What if I'm just sitting there by myself? What if I get there and the only people that listen are like mean to me? I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't pick this because I'm pretty fragile and I'm a little bit worried that it's going to hurt my feelings. And I've had my feelings hurt in the past by people and that wasn't super awesome. So I don't want to do that. So God, what if they don't listen? He's intimidated. He's intimidated by people he hasn't met yet. He's intimidated by people that were far away. And he's got God literally talking to him. And he's like, I don't know. What if people are mean, man? He's worried about how people are going to react. I'm sure if you've experienced that, how are people going to react to what I'm putting out there? You know, put out a YouTube video and get mean comments. I remember my most popular video, 10,000 plus views, is the most hated video by far that I have. It every day I put it out there, and then every day for 6 months I got mean comments about how bigoted and horrible and terrible I am, from people who had watched 5 minutes of that video and decided and came to a conclusion about me. And it has continued to happen even a year and a half later. Every now and again a mean comment pops out, and as I am to that, because I'm a big boy and I've done public speaking for a while, it still hurts, man. I don't like it, and it makes me gun shy to step out one more time and put out another piece of content, to do another reaction video, to step out there, because I want to be liked too. What if people don't like me? God's response to him was, what's that in your hand? You know, a staff. Throw it onto the ground. And he shows miracles. You know, put your hand in your cloak and come out and be leprous, then I'll heal it to you. God's response was, listen, when I'm finished with you, when you've done what you're, they'll listen. I promise. I'm going to work miracles like you wouldn't believe. And if you've been in streaming for any period of time or done content creation, you've probably experienced a few of those miracles where you're like, it's usual, normal stream. And suddenly you're having eternal conversations that are changing lives, where people are sharing their heart in ways that you never would have anticipated. That there are people who have come and they DM you or whatever and be like, what you said today, it really affected me. It really helped me. And that is God moments. You're like, all I was doing was my normal self. I just showed up to stream and somehow God's like, yeah, that's all I needed from you. I just needed you to be obedient, to be yourself, to be who I created you to be and be present in that moment. I'll take care of the rest. I'll take care of the rest. I've got you, right? I can work miracles with the weirdest stuff, right? See that stick? I'm going to change Egypt with it, right? It's wild. It's wild what God can do with very, very little bit. I'm reading. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses ran from it. Moses is having a rough day. Okay. You think you want to stand in the presence of God and have him speak to you. But if Moses is any indication, it's kind of a panic attack moment. Then we're going to keep going. And verse 10, we're going to go to verse 10. But Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. His next excuse, we got lists of excuses. He's like, he's complete inadequacy. I am not built for this. I don't talk good. So therefore, I shouldn't be handed a microphone. I shouldn't be the one standing in front of anybody. I am not the right person for this job. What if I go up there and I slip up? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I you know, end up going viral for some horrible foible that I do? I'm scared of, like, I'm not going to be controlled. I'm not a professional speaker. I'm not trained. I'm just a person, man. I just go online. I don't know how to do this. I'm inadequate to the task. I don't know how to edit videos very good, and I'm not very good at controlling the audio, and I don't really know how to set up a social media empire, and I networking is confusing to me, and, you know, I don't know a ton about theology, and like, I'm inadequate for this task, Lord. Right? What is God's response? Is so perfect. It's so beautiful, and it's a question. He answers with a question, and that is, who made your mouth? Moses. Right? Who has made man's mouth? Who made him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? God's response to that fear of inadequacy is to say, listen, I'm the source of gifts. I can equip you. I made you. I know what you're capable of. I didn't call you into my office and give you a job without seeing your resume. In fact, it's because of your resume that I gave you the job, because your resume sucks. That's what I'm working with. That's good, right? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, actually, why don't we go there just for kicks and giggles? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll scroll down. Paul is talking to a church that is going through a lot, screwing up in a myriad of ways. And he says in verse 26, he says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world." That's you, "to shame the wise. But God chose what is weak in the world." That's you guys, Corinthians, "to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that it's written, 'Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.'" This is God's math. I choose the ones who are wildly inadequate, those who are foolish and weak and low and despised and nothing. That's the raw material I work with. Then I get all the glory, right? God is very kind in when he calls somebody, in that the more we're dependent on him and the more willing to listen to him and the more that we're willing to do things in a biblical, responsible, humble way, the more he'll equip us, the more confident we will feel in him. Because all of a sudden, the things that we're doing that we feel like aren't going to go at all, God starts using. I know for sure that there are a lot of ways that content creators mess this part up, because God's like, okay, I called you, and they either wildly overcompensate, and they start to, you know, spend a ton of money on technology, and they start to, you know, whatever, and they try to make things happen that before they're able. They choose to work alone. I can't listen to any church, and I can't listen to any pastor. I'm not joining any groups. It's just me and God, right? And God's like, that's not how I operate, right? Not at all. They decide they're going to immediately start some kind of empire. I'm going to start a Discord, and I'm going to have every creator in the world, and I'll teach them how to do it. How many times have you streamed? 7. How many people do you stream to? None, right? But, you know, but God called me, right? The idea that if we can just follow God's plan in God's timing, go his way, that he will continue to help us in his timing. It really is true. And I'll go back again and say, Taco exists right? The Alliance for Creative Outreach exists. I have a, you know, the board and the team and all the rest of that stuff because it was God's idea. I did not know that was going to happen when I first started the stream. Like the fact that I'm top 1% of English speaking Twitch is insane to me because I don't understand how that, that could happen. I'm not particularly the right person on Twitch, right? I'm a loudmouth Baptist preacher who sucks at video games. That is not the recipe for success, right? And so, but God goes, you know what? Your inadequacy is what qualifies you. The last thing he says, Moses, verse 12 in Exodus 4, now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. You're like, all right, I got to go. Moses responds, oh my Lord, please send someone else, right? Like legit. And I don't, maybe you've had the spirit, maybe you haven't, but have you ever said no to God's call? You really felt it. You felt it in during the sermon, or you felt it during the, what you were listening to, you felt it during Devos, you understood, you've even experimented with it a little bit. But when the rubber met the road, you're like, oh, this is, it's going to be risky and it's going to be costly. I'm going to have to give up relationships, and I'm going to have to give up finances, and I'm going to have to give up time. I'm going to have to give up. I'm going to end up becoming embarrassed. I'm going to have to submit myself to training that I literally, I'm so sick of school. I don't want to do that. Like there's going to be a lot. It's going to be, I can see it now. It's going to be a lot. You know what, God? Pick someone else. I'm comfortable in my life right now. You know what? I will be obscure. I will stay here. I think there's probably a lot of Christian content creators out there that get to the point where they feel that sense of call, and they feel that sense of wanting to be there, and they get online and they start streaming, and things are going okay. But when it's time to go next level with God, they pull back. They go, no, I'm just here to play games. I'm just here to have like my two or three people that I enjoy. I'm just here because, you know, I want to, I don't want more responsibility. I don't want more, that there's going to more work. I like what I do and I know, right? Choose someone else. You want to raise someone up, choose someone else. What sucks is that God will honor that, right? What's great about the situation with Moses is that he says, all right, fine. You can have Aaron. It says this, then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? You know, that should have an exclamation point at the end of it. Or my favorite piece of punctuation, the interrobang. It should have an interrobang at the end of that, because I don't know. As soon as it says the anger of the Lord was kindled, I feel like the volume went up. You know what I mean? The flame was a little more on the old bush. He says, I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. In other words, God sent him before the conversation ever started. God knew where this was going. And he's like, I already called him. Behold, he's coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart and he's ready to go. I've already provided, right? This is the grace of God, in that in our inadequacy and in our feelings of inferiority and our feeling intimidated and having not knowing who we are and why we're supposed to be there, God still sends help, right? You're not alone, not at all, right? One of the reasons that Taco exists, that I launched Taco, because there were so many streamers and Christian content creators that are alone. When you started, you have the same story as me, because I've heard the story 1,000 times. I felt God's call to start in content creation because I didn't think there were any other Christians in content creation. So I went online and I didn't find any other Christians. So I thought, I'll go on there. No problem, God. I'll go there. And then as I started creating content and as I started joining, I discovered there were a lot more Christian content creators out there than I thought there were. Is that anybody else's story? Because that's mine and like a million other people's story. That's how it works. And it was like November 2001, I think, or like whatever, March, so like whatever, all the same month. God's like, here, everybody go. And it was like everybody thought they were the only one, and they started to discover other Christian content creators. Now, one of the challenges that Christian content creators have is that many of them have been burned by the church. Many of them have been hurt by organized religion. Many don't like institutionalized religion, right? In fact, they've been either hurt or they've been abused or they have been neglected or whatever. And so they pulled out of church. Many Christian content creators have pulled out of church. All their stuff is online. And they have, when given the opportunity to join with other Christians, when seeing other believers online, their instinct wasn't, those are my people, let's go. It was, I will join, but keep everybody at arm's length. I don't want to get hurt again, but I also don't know what I'm doing. So I'm going to go listen and maybe they'll help me grow, but I am not going to go deep with any of these people, right? There's like an inherent trust level. Plus you don't know their theology, plus, right? However, I believe that God has created a lot of ways that we can network together and that we need to make the sacrifice. And we need to make the humble choice to go, all right, I will join and I will invest and I will share and I'll take the risk of what it means to become a network of Christian creators or to humble myself and to serve other creators, right? I'm convinced that there are a million errands out there that are creating content that shouldn't. They felt called into digital missions. And their assumption was that meant that they're supposed to stream or they're supposed to YouTube or they're supposed to whatever. When in fact, their call was to be an errand for another streamer, right? The streamer's like freaking out. I don't know what I'm doing, but God called me to do it. God goes, okay, I got an errand. I'm sending him to you. And the errand wasn't listening. The Aaron wasn't doing his devos. The Aaron only heard half the message and the Aaron ran out there and started a stream and he hates it. I literally have talked to multiple streamers who were like, I hate streaming, but God called me to do it. And so I'm obedient. And when I said to them, what if you were called to support another streamer? What if you were called to support another content creator? Right? It's like their brain exploded and they're like, wait, you mean I can serve in digital missions? I can utilize my gifts and talents. I could do it within the time limitations that I have. And I can still honor God with that. Yeah. Yeah, you can. Wow. I created a stream dream team. And within 2 days of asking, I had 9 people on the team that I no longer had to ask for help. I just said, okay, guys, this is what I think we should do. And then suddenly I had graphics and I had some help with sound and I had help with choosing, you know, going through demographics and I had all kinds of help like crazy. I had people editing my stuff because they're like, yeah, I don't stream. I don't do nothing. But boy, can I read good. Do you need editors? And I'm like, yeah, I do because I write. So yeah, if you want to edit for free. So like, if they're out there, these errands are out there. And whether we're afraid to ask or because they haven't even discovered that they can be an errand, we can help them, right? We can help them. Maybe one of you guys here is an errand. I don't know. I'm not gonna presume. But there's a chance that one of the things that you can do, that you're built to do, isn't to be Moses, but you're meant to be Aaron. And that's just as helpful. However, I will say this to those who are the Moseses. God called you, right? God called you. One of the instincts that many creators have, especially small creators, is that they try to push their content creation to other people, right? Like they're like, oh, I need a video editor to edit my videos. And I need a website designer to design my website. And I need a shorts person to design my shorts. And I'll just be the creative person in the background, right? No, God called you. God gave you the creativity. God gave you the message. God gave you the history. God gave you the testimony. And God is using you. The errand is there to help you, right? You shall speak, says God. I'll put words, you put words in his mouth. You're the one that's going to get the message. You're the one who's going to deliver the message. He's just put there to help you. That instinct to try to push all your content creation off to other people because it's too hard, fight that instinct. God called you, right? Yes, get help, but don't try to push the message off on others. That's yours. Okay, that is the end of this class. We're going to do one more thing, And but before we do, I want to make sure that I give you guys a chance to ask questions or to make comments along the way. We have a little bit more time than usual. We got about 7 minutes before we have to make our flip over. So does anybody have anything they want to say before we get going? I talked a whole lot, so it's your turn. Okay, last part of the class is, and like I said, I'll honor your time, I promise, is the stream review rubric, which is something that we designed to be able to help streamers get better. We take it from three different perspectives: technical, interaction, and content. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to give you this rubric. It's already on the stream evaluation channel, so you download it. And you're going to pick, we're going to figure out our victim, and then we're going to go use this on them. So let me go through it quickly. You're just going to understand what we're doing. So we got technical side, which is camera, lighting, and audio quality. Now, let me preface this by saying, if you want an honest evaluation from others, give an honest evaluation to them. Your instinct is going to be nice Christian people. Don't. It doesn't help, right? Like, you're greatest of all time, and wow, you're super, super awesome. And I, you know, let's be critical. We do need the help. I would assume you want help and you want them to be critical. You want to be able to be good at this. You want to make sure that you improve, and you know that someone blowing sunshine on you is not going to do it. Don't do that for others.
Be honest.
Okay. So camera, lighting, audio quality, you kind of get what that is. It does, you know, is the camera in the right spot? How's the quality of it? Is the lighting proper? Does it make, you know, does it work? Does the audio work? If your audio doesn't work, don't stream. Go get your audio right. That's number one. The overlays, the graphics, the panels, like, for example, does chat like go half over their face, or like is the game half missing, or is their camera over top of some part that's critical? The OBS, the game, the plugin functionality, did OBS break? Did their chat plugin or whatever the thing they were trying to do, was that broken? Right? Like, the what was that? Rate them out of 5 and then give them a comment on, you know, kind of what you saw. Even, yes, you can be positive. You don't have to be mean. I'll leave that to be my job. You can be nice if you want to. Question one here is, what is the most captivating or interesting part of their stream presentation? In other words, when they, you know, where you showed up and you're like, oh yeah, that grabbed me. I want to look at that. Whether it be color scheme, or it be just their, how their lighting was, or maybe they had an aquarium in the background, you know, whatever it was, what kind of grabbed you? Number two, did anything technically distracting or annoying happen that would have normally caused you to leave the stream, right? That echo, you know what I mean? The echo happening, or have it, being on stream with like three other people and you can only hear the main guy and everybody else is like 10% volume, or they, you know, there's like weird flashing and a bunch of animations that are just driving you insane. Is there anything that would have been like, normally you'd be like, you know what? I just can't, I'm out. Interaction. When it comes to the streamer interacting with the chat, interacting with what happens, how are they doing? Responsiveness to events, follow subs, raids, all the things that make alerts happen. Did they respond? Did the follower get a thank you? Did the raid get an excited hello? I can't tell you how annoying it is when I go to some place and we raid over and that person's like, hey, thanks for coming. And then gets back to their thing, man. Raid is like a huge thing. You should be reacting. Are they responsive? Excited to be there? Excited for everybody to show up? Audience engagement, chat and comments, banter, energy. Were they engaged with chat? I get that there are different kind of competitive gamers. I get that, and it's harder to do. But, you know, you understand that if somebody's doing it and they're doing it the game, they're not going to be very good at communicating with chat. Do they pause, right? Like, do they stop and look at chat and be like, hey, in between, let's have a talk and stuff like that. Are they good at that? Interacting interest with Matt that matches the theme. As in, when you look at the whole kind of broad thing, does everything kind of work together? Right, the emotes, the channel points, the bot commands. Is there an overarching theme? Right, like ninja. Right, it is my theme. Do things kind of work together? Like, granted, I don't follow that real good. A lot of my channel rewards are just blinking lights, which isn't necessarily ninja-ish. But does it all work together? Like, do you see a theme? Question. Oh, and chat moderation, difficult topics. Did they handle it well? Question is, did you feel welcomed and valued as a viewer? That's if they're going to do number one thing, man. If we're going to do one thing as a Christian content creator who wants to build community, it's every single person who walks in needs to feel welcomed and valued, right? Did you? Content. Their elevator speech. We're going to talk about elevator speeches during this class, which is basically when you showed up or when the raid came in or when you came into chat and you said hello, you stayed there for a little while. Do you have any idea why they're there? Any idea why they're streaming, who they're streaming to, what the point of this stream is? Did they give a stream? Like for me, you know, building an open, encouraging, and meaningful online family through gaming, real talk, and God's truth, right? That was the push for me. That's my elevator speech. That's what I'm doing. Did you hear anything? Or did they do 4 hours and you still have no idea why they went live, right? Stream focus and consistency. Was it all over the map? Did you not know where you were going? Was like it went from like really moody to really crazy to really moody to really chaotic? Like did that happen, or was there like a flow? Now, granted, variety streamers, we're kind of all over the map, but was there at least a plan? You know what I mean? Was there a plan? How compelling were the stream's title, tags, description, and go live? If you saw the go live and whatnot, did it make you want to see what it was or not? I use the word compelling because we, you know, that's hard to do, but at the same time, was it something that actually worked to help them? Did their streamer's speech and attitude reflect Philippians 4:8, right? True, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. Their integrity. Did they use copyright music? Did they steal games by, you know, using emulators? Like, were they someone of integrity? If they did Christian content, as in the Devo or presented the gospel or whatever, was it biblical? Was it presented graciously? And the last two questions here are, what makes this stream stand out? What's the hook? As in, like, when you're like, this is their thing. You know, that got me, man. Whether it be the competitive gameplay or how cool their personality is, or the, you know, they do art and I've never seen that before, or whatever it is. What was their hook? And number two, did this stream make you want to come back again? Right. When you were done, were you like, I can't wait to see this tomorrow, or I want to see where this goes, or they're doing a giveaway and I want to be part of that. Did they make you want to come back, or were you like, no, I'm good forever. I don't need to see that anymore. Right. The last little bottom here. How'd you find out they were live? What was your favorite part of the stream? What would you say this creator's greatest gift and talent is? That's a helpful one. If you want to help, because like what's their thing? What makes them special? Because everybody has one. So if we can help them, you know, discover what it is, and then that's it. And then other. So that's what I'd like from you guys. And who's our first victim? And both of those are similar, right? The talking about seeing unity and seeing diversity in Star Trek, which was one of its foundational things, right? Gene Roddenberry actually had to fight for having different ethnicities, having you know, working together, and so it wasn't done, and then you, like you said, the community online, it's the same vibe, it's the same thing, right? I get to be part of that now. I get to sit on the bridge and I get to be one of the many people. It's fascinating to me when it comes down to it, because people look at this as, oh, it's a video game. But when you scratch the surface of it and start looking a little bit deeper, these are all excuses for people to get together, to unite under a single banner, to compete with and compete against each other, to have global experiences with people that are like them, which we know that we learned in COVID, and it doubled in COVID, how lonely people really are, how disconnected people are, how individualistic people are. They've been told, you're special, nobody else can tell you what to do, you know, don't get involved in a church, you can't trust any leadership, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just been a recipe for loneliness for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Divorce is huge in Canada. It was like 5-6 years ago that we passed this really weird statistic where there are more people living alone in homes than there are families living in homes, right? That means more people in Canada are alone than not. It's a massive issue, which is why God, I believe, you know, a few years ago, just blasted a call out, like megaphoned a call to so many people to try to get into Christian content creation and change lives. And to utilize, like you said, to utilize that, the gift of this creative work that is, you know, MMO gaming, and which allows for incredible things to happen. Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that you shared that. Thank you for absolutely making the point. Because how many people look at a video game like that and go, yeah, that's going to change someone's life. It's going to alter their trajectory and allow them to find hope. Dude, nobody outside of, you know, a very few amount of people is going to look at a game and say that. But other people who have been touched by them go, absolutely. What are you talking about? This is, you know how you cried at the end of this movie? Well, I cried during during this part of the game. It's the same thing. Yeah, if you were to do this and be like, well, we meet in the basement of the church and 12 people come and we play Monopoly together and I talk about and we share hope, we share stories and we share love. And then we do that 5 days a week. Well, so we talk about the obscurity of digital missions and how confusing that is for some people. Well, there are a vast amount of people who have never heard of Twitch, period. Right. Like we go out there and like if you like it, never mind saying I play Overwatch. Right. That's would. Yeah. But if you go, you know, I'm on Twitch that a lot of the time, at least 50% of the time, what's Twitch? Right. So how many derivations are we away from? I am a live streamer who does digital missions. If you're starting with I've never heard of Twitch. Right. That's pretty far away. That's why, actually, I just did a talk on this last week on my channel, and it was basically how it's us. We're the ones who are going to have to plow forward in this pioneer ministry. We're the ones who are going to have to cut down the trees. We're the ones who are going to have to furrow the ground. We're the ones who are going to have to take the hits, live in obscurity, not get any level of notoriety, create all the resources that, and then die, so that the next generation can have all of that foundation so that they can thrive. That's us. That's our job. If we're whiling away and we're confused about why it's not taking off, often it's because I believe that God is going, I'm utilizing you in a different way than you understand. Let's talk generationally. Let's get big. Go read Habakkuk, right? Where he's like, man, right now sucks. And God takes him up in the helicopter and is like, let me show you what I'm doing, you know, on a huge, huge level. And Habakkuk's like, oh, okay, cool. And then he's good. We need to have that perspective too, right? That, well, we're wiling away down here and it's not really working out the way we want it to. God is doing so many bigger things and we're part of that. That's a great question. I'm not sure I can give a real specific answer other than it happens in community. Okay. The one of the things that we tend to do when it comes to seeking God is we tend to get alone, right? I got to go sit on an island and cross my legs and hover for the next 4 days while God tells me what to do. That there's part of that, you know, part of that is getting in your prayer closet for sure. But it happens in community. You know, you ask people that know you, that love you, that love Jesus, that understand what you're doing, and you say, hey, you know, this is what's on my mind. You know, I'm kind of bouncing between, am I a supporter or am I a streamer? Am I someone who, so can you help me understand, right? And you know, they're going to give you an honest answer. You know, they love you, right? They're not going to try to blow sunshine. That what they're trying to do is they know that you're seeking God, right? The mistake would be to be alone in that and try to decide on your own, right? Open up yourself to community. Open up yourself to being vulnerable. And to say, this is what I'm struggling with. Let's help me process this. And then if, you know, if they're like, well, actually, no, you've got something, you know, I don't know. I know you feel like you're wallowing away in obscurity, but you got something. I really, really think you should be there. Keep going. Or they're going to be like, yeah, actually, you know what? You have great talents in other areas. And there are a lot of people out there that could really use you. You know what I mean? So yeah, maybe go there. Like, just listen to other people and ask a mentor and ask other Christian streamers and ask other people that you trust and friends, people offline, you know, what gifts do you see in me? People who don't even know what Twitch is. What gifts do you see in me? What do you see me? And if they're like, you're an amazing communicator, or you really know how to network people together, right? Then you're like, okay, well that translates. But if they're like, man, you're such a good helper, you're such a great supporter, you're someone who we know that you can, that you're going to be there to help out, you can start going, well, okay, maybe that leans me in another direction, right? Did anybody else have that experience where they kind of fell into it? Yeah. Interesting. That's interesting. That's my story for preaching. I fought against it. I took no classes. I decided I wasn't going to do that. And it wasn't, and I did like 6 years of school where I fought against it. And it wasn't until I tried everything else on the planet that I finally relented. And I said to God on a Monday, I think it was, I said, God, I'm going to say yes to anything anybody asks me to do. If so, if they want me to be a streetwalker, I'll go. They want me to shoot somebody, I'll do it. You better guide somebody into my life like soon, because I'm just going to do whatever somebody says. I got a phone call, like I think it's the next day or that night, and it's my academic vice president. And he's like, hi. I'm like, hello. I want you to go preach at a little town over. And if it wasn't for that prayer the previous day before, I would have said, no, I'm not a preacher. I refuse. And yet, because I was open, because I took the time to go, God, help me out, point me in the right direction, I ended up preaching there. It was the world's worst sermon. Like, I preached like 12 pages in 8 minutes. Like, it was awful. And they said, you know what? That was pretty good. Can you come back? Right. And so I came back, and then other people heard that I was preaching, and they invited me to their church and whatnot. And all the way along, I'm like, literally, and this is a little TMI, but for 10 straight years, I was sick in the bathroom every Sunday for a decade before service. I was in the bathroom sick because of how overwhelming being in the pulpit was. But it was, okay, this is where you want me. I'll go. Okay, let's go. And I did it. So yeah, no, I think that's definitely, if your story was basically, you know what, I opened myself up to a trajectory change and God utilized people in order to make that trajectory change, I think that's valid. Like falling into it sounds accidental, but being open to it is definitely something that is a godly thing to do.
Once again, this has been a special episode of the Taco Talks podcast. If you want to learn more about the course, visit taconetwork.org and click on I'm a Creator. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to join in the conversation, Christian Ninja streams Monday to Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. This podcast is recorded live on Tuesdays. I also want to invite you to join me on my own live stream journey, where I'm streaming on Twitch Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Finally, if you want to help keep Christian Ninja full-time, consider joining his coffee support page, where you'll find his bookstore and get updates on what's happening with Taco and Christian Ninja's ministry. If you become a member, you'll get access to all sorts of exclusive content and help reach more creators and their communities. All the links are in the description.